The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
Welcome to the One Fall Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Johnson, and I hope you enjoyed that G1 show we just did, because we're back again. It's me and Mo. Josh is sick. Hopefully Josh feels better. We could just say that Josh is here, and he was just quiet for the whole show. His presence is...
I feel better not having Josh talk.
I'm just kidding.
Imagine how long that G1 show would have been. I mean, we were trying to do that one quick, and it being, can you imagine how long it would have been if we had one more person?
Oh, there'd be so many more comments and opinions. It would be an hour and a half for sure. G1's great to talk about, and I recommend everyone to checking out and listening to it, because it was downright amazing.
Like that, yeah. You mean our show or the tournament itself?
Maybe a little bit of both. I gotta get put over, and you have to get put over.
So, well, I agree with that second.
Talk about people going over. The best brand in pro wrestling, best brand in sports entertainment / pro wrestling.
Best NXT. North American brand, we can say right now.
Yeah.
Because AEW is just still getting off the ground.
And until the ratings don't go well for NXT on FS1, and then Vince takes it over and it all falls apart. That's what's going to happen, right, Mo? Right?
I think we all fear that. I think that's a reasonable explanation. I think even more just the idea that they're going to start putting stars from SmackDown and Raw on it, and that will be, I think even if he stayed away, just doing that, I think could hurt the brand. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, but I have to say this: when you look at the ratings and the quality of the shows, I'm not saying they're great, but certainly the ratings have actually held up over the last few weeks better than I thought they would for Raw. So and for SmackDown, for both. So
I'm intrigued to see where they all go moving forward, because that's going to be big. That rating number is going to matter. That's going to be very important for everyone, especially with AEW kicking off in October 2nd. We've gotten their first three dates. They've sold out for their first TV taping in 2 hours.
They could have sold out if there hadn't been technical issues even quicker.
See, and that was the thing, that the technical issues slowed it down. That's a big deal. But you know what? I always love TakeOver. I've been to two TakeOvers. I've seen NXT Toronto the first time, where DIY and the Revival faced off at a 2 out of 3 falls match, which was an amazing, incredible moment. And then I got to see NXT TakeOver New York, where Johnny was in another 2 out of 3 falls match, this time against Adam Cole, and finally got his moment as the NXT champion. And now we go to NXT Toronto 2, which I'm excited to see. It's a shame I'm not there live, but it is what it is. But thankfully, we only have 5 matches to go through. Isn't that nice, Mo? Only 5.
It is nice, but I it's funny. I don't feel that this. I mean, I think people are always anticipating the takeover. And they're consistently so amazing. I don't think, though, that this has the same momentum as some of the ones in the past. I don't personally have that sense.
I wonder if it's the main event, because we've seen it. This will be the third.
I think
time.
So. I think they would have been better off taking a break from this and coming back to it at another point. Though I wonder if they're. I kind of suspect now that Gargano will soon not be on NXT. I was thinking about this the other day, and this is a quick side note, get your opinion. When you talk about the Observer Hall of Fame, and that's in many ways the most difficult one to get into. If Gargano stayed in NXT, where you know you don't draw really television ratings and you don't draw a ton of big houses, but he has these quality of matches. I was wondering if he would be a candidate for the Observer Hall of Fame someday, because it's usually a combination of all these things, of draw, and there's a few guys who've gotten in just on their work, but it's incredibly difficult.
I feel like if his whole career was in NXT and say Johnny ran at the same clip that he is for the next 5-7 years, I would say there's more than likely a chance that he could get into the Observer Hall of Fame based on his work alone. It's going to be interesting because you say that you think this is Johnny's last takeover. I do wonder if they're going to keep Johnny down there because of them eventually going to FS1. And Hunter has his guys that he really likes. And like even Sean has come out and said that he really likes, he gravitates towards guys like Ciampa and Gargano. And it makes me wonder if those are two guys that they're like, well, we're going to keep in NXT. If we're going to go to TV and we're going to FS1 and we're going head to head, then Johnny's a guy we want to keep. Because NXT...
I think it's more likely that they think to themselves, we put him on one of these other ones, expose him to more people, make him a bigger star so he can have more influence on NXT down the road if necessary. I think that would be more their mindset is kind of what I'm thinking, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. You know, I mean, certainly there's not a lack of talent, and we've seen a lot of that new talent recently on television in NXT and the tournament that they've done as such. Some really, I mean, they have great guys that, they just don't have anybody who's connected to the audience yet from these new people in the way that Gargano is. I'd have to say I love Damian Priest. I like that gimmick much more than Punishment Martinez and that whole thing and that presentation with him. I'm a big fan of that.
I really like Isaiah Scott. I think he's a guy that they could build up, that could find his footing in NXT down in a couple of years' time.
The thing about Scott is he's younger than a Damian Priest, who's actually quite a bit older than even because he hasn't been around that long. Even in ROH, he wasn't there that long. It's fairly recent that he's had any exposure. He's actually, I think he's already in his mid to late 30s. So
it's going to be interesting to see who, because they still, Kushida's not on a takeover, and he's another name that can easily be brought in to have quality matches. So
he's a guy that you want to leave down there because it's not going to work on the main roster, and we've seen what 205 Live is, unfortunately, as far as visibility.
Yeah, and there's terribly not a lot of visibility, unfortunately. But let's get to this card. We got 5 matches: NXT TakeOver Toronto. We'll start at the bottom here. Well, everything to me, I always think we're going to get at least good matches from everything that NXT has to give, and I think we'll get a couple great matches. First match we've got is a singles match. It's Candice LeRae versus Io Shirai. Io has turned heel. Candice is making her takeover debut via match. Who gets the win here, and who marches forward in that women's division?
I think Io Shirai gets the win. I think this is where we really see how good she is, because she's brilliant, more so than at any point in the past. I also think the crowd will be cheering her. I expect the crowd to be at least 70%, at least 70-30 for Shirai, personally. So we'll see.
I personally think Io will probably get the win here as well, as does Josh, because I have all of Josh's picks for NXT and SummerSlam. So I think all across the board have Io Shirai, and I think she's your next face of your division. But it's going to be interesting to see what the next match result will have, because I've been wrong multiple times on this, and that is for the NXT Women's title. It's Shayna Baszler versus Mia Yim.
Yeah, Well, they've done a really good job building up Yim over the last, basically since the last takeover. I think they've done a terrific job building her up because I don't think even, during the last takeover, people would have seen her as a strong challenger. So I really like that. I like the storyline. I like how she's not afraid of Baszler. It's being well done. Again, does it make sense? What are you going to do with Baszler? Is she being moved up? Does she fit into Raw? Is she better off staying down there? It does feel like it's starting to feel a little stale with her as the champion. though I'm not 100% sure anymore that she's ever being moved from NXT. You know, and let's face it, her two stooges are not ready still. you know, yeah. So I kind of think Baszler might retain.
Yep, that was Josh's pick, and that's my pick as well. I just, after this point, I'm like, I'm just going to pick Baszler until I'm wrong. That's just,
yeah,
just the way it's going to go. I mean, I think the women's division definitely could use someone different on top to really revitalize it. And I think it's someone like Io Shirai. I think she would be the perfect choice, but I thought that, and she couldn't beat Baszler at any point. So
I also thought it was, I didn't think it was a great move to turn her heel, but hey, I mean, we'll see with a guy like Gargano, who, when they turned heel, the crowd just was cheering and they didn't fight it. And like I said, I kind of think that might be what happens with her.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be very.
People like somebody when they show a little bit of fire and yeah. meanness and badassness, you know, like they like that.
Look at Austin.
Yep.
Next match, the third match on the card is a triple threat match for the NXT North American Championship. I'm really excited for this match based on the talent in the ring alone. Velveteen Dream defends against Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong. I think this is going to. This is going to go the way of Undisputed. I think this will start the goal of them all be all of them having the gold by the end of the year. I think Roddy's going to get it.
Yeah, I really do not feel that they're going to move anybody from Undisputed Era from NXT. Maybe at all. Certainly not anytime soon. Like I feel like they're going to be the centerpiece of NXT as they get on FS1. Dream is a guy who I'm not sure what their plans are long term with him, but I don't feel like he needs the belt as much as Roddy needs the belt. Dunn felt a little bit pushed in there, like, but I mean it's good. I mean I don't, again, Dunn's another guy with, it doesn't feel like he has anything left to do, even though he hasn't been, even though he's mainly been in NXT UK, but it doesn't feel like he has anything left to do on NXT, really. Yeah. This doesn't, I don't really feel like this does much for him. The guy it does the most for is Roddy, so it's definitely my pick.
Yeah, and that's Josh's pick as well. Next match we got is for the tag team titles. One of my favorite acts, especially for everything that they've done on Monday Night Raw, the Street Profits, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford. Just anytime there's no way that anyone is writing those promos for them, because it just feels so
I think you're wrong. That feels so Heyman to me.
Does that feel Heyman?
Oh, yeah. That feels so Heyman. Go back and look at Heyman's work with Crime Time. That feels so Heyman to me.
Regardless of what it is, it's worked. And I think they've gotten over. And I really enjoy their little promos with different people, highlighting the different things going on. Their whole little thing with Kurt was great. I'm a big fan. I've really enjoyed it. But they're taking on another duel that I really enjoy, which is the Undisputed Era, which is Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, Red Dragon. Aware, does Undisputed get the titles here, or Street Profits keep it?
My pick is the Street Profits actually keep it. That's my swerve pick for the night. And that I think everybody's going to expect Street Profits, because of their showing up on Raw, to lose it. Whereas I think they're going to use this to swerve people, keep the belt on them, and I think they'll probably lose it more likely at one of the TV tapings coming up in recent time or in times. But you know, it feels like especially if Roddy's getting the belt, like you don't necessarily need to put it on Undisputed Era here just yet as well. So that's my pick.
I'm gonna go opposite of you, and Josh does as well, with Undisputed getting the titles. I can just see the image at the end of TakeOver with all four of them with the gold. That's how I can see it ending. But you could absolutely be right with the swerve. That makes sense as well. Either way, I could see them playing out the night.
I feel like there's going to be one swerve finish, because we're all picking the same things and the finishes feel largely too easy. So
yeah. And Hunter does a good job. Like Hunter, I will give him credit. He does a good job with the majority of his booking for NXT. And the final match, it's another 2 out of 3 falls. I saw the first time they did a 2 out of 3 falls match, so that's a feather in my cap. The first fall, one of them is a street fight, and one of them is just a straight singles match. And if it gets to the third fall, William Regal will announce the stipulation. So they have not announced what that final fall is, which I think is brilliant, because I think that final fall will probably be a loser leaves NXT.
And I think maybe I would prefer to know what it is personally.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things. Personally, I prefer to know ahead of time what the stipulation is. Like that would work better. I mean, for me, yeah, it's
they could easily go to just the first two falls. They could completely change it up a bit and not go to that third fall.
Yeah. But they could. They could.
But much like Josh, I'm picking Cole and Johnny's
final. Yeah, I don't think you're taking the belt off Cole. He's your, like I say, you're going to build that brand around him, and you should. With Matt Riddle's putting his foot in his mouth this week, you can see why it is you wouldn't want to put a belt on him and build a brand around him, which is too bad because he's the most charismatic, talented guy. But, all-around guy that WWE should be able to promote. But so, I mean, Cole is the guy I think you want to put that you want to hit your wagon to him.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And I think you're absolutely right. They sell incredible merch. I think they may be the most overstable in WWE currently.
I think that's fair, yeah.
You see so many people throwing up the UE. Cole was one of the most over talents in New York. Like, the crowd was actively wanting Cole to win that match. I was in the minority going for Johnny, but that's... You can have those. But I think this will be a good match again. I think both these guys will deliver. But just a shame that it ends for Johnny, and he's got to go and toil away on the main roster.
Well, considering how brilliant these matches have been, I wish I was more excited for this. You know, because I know it'll be great when it starts. It will be great.
It's one of those things where
it's a little flat. We need some space before coming back to it.
Ultimately, this will be the end. So now I'll ask you before we get to SummerSlam, who's next for Adam Cole? Who's the next babyface that chases after him heading into War Games?
Yeah, it's funny because if it War Games, I wonder if they even put the belt on the line.
They could just do the four of them versus Riddle, Street Profits, and Pete Dunne.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Pete Dunne is probably the guy. I think he'll be the next challenger. Yeah,
that's not a terrible choice. I do enjoy Pete Dunne, so it's not a bad choice to
have. Oh, he's awesome.
So it'll be interesting to see how they build that up. I could see Cole having a nice long run with the title, though.
Oh yeah, I think the nice thing about Dunne is everybody will be into the match. He's established, but nobody will mind if he doesn't win.
Yeah,
and like he's just a perfectly safe guy right now to put in against Cole.
Who do you build up to take the title off Cole? Is it Riddle or do you put it on Kushida?
Like I say, I don't know if you put it on Kushida. It's tough. Riddle really I think hurt himself.
Yeah,
with his stuff with, you know, social media stuff and saying he would beat the hell out of, Shawn Michaels, was it? Or who was it he said?
It was Goldberg that he was going after.
It was Goldberg. Well, he was talking about Goldberg. He talked about Booker T.
And Jericho.
Jericho. That was it. Sorry. Yeah. Jericho, he wouldn't take his advice. I think all that that reflects really poorly on him, which is too bad. So I don't feel like, he's going to be built up for that reason. So, I'm not sure. And Kushida, Kushida feels like the type of guy you build towards having him, the match, but never get put the belt on. So I'm just not sure who that
Here's a guy you could build towards. It would be a slow build, and it would be smart to do a slow build
Keith Lee.
There's
your guy.
Yeah.
Keith Lee versus Adam Cole. There's the one. There's my pick.
Nah. Another name that could be floated out there, I think Velveteen. I think you could build him up, and I think he could generate the actual heel reaction you want for Adam Cole. I feel like, but then again, maybe the crowd swings more towards Cole. They're solely behind him.
They're so behind him. It does make sense though, because he's challenged Cole for the belt before and beat him, right?
Yeah, so you can make that argument.
Yeah, it's completely logical from that perspective.
But we're going to go from making logical choices to maybe not making as many logical choices with SummerSlam. Yay. I've got all of Josh's picks here. We got 10 matches, so double the amount for NXT.
But we got 6 freaking hours. I just got to say this, and I understand, considering they have so many matches already and this and that. The match that I was most looking forward to, they just did on SmackDown. And it makes sense to give a lot of exposure to Aleister Black, but that in a lot of ways was like, I was like, oh man, if they just give them a good 15-20 minutes, the sleeper match, they like Sami Zayn, he's a good promo and he's a good hand, they like him, but they don't think he's marketable.
No.
And I'm like, you don't get it, and you're totally undervaluing him. He could be so much bigger than he is, and that could have been so much more. And like, I was like, oh, that was the match I was really just, for me at SummerSlam, that was my guilty pleasure, and then they do it on SmackDown, so I should be happy because it's already up there. But it's television's just not pay-per-view still.
Here's a question for you. If they go to FS1 and they have the 2 hours for NXT and NXT's live, do you have a problem if they start funneling a couple guys that used to be on NXT back down there to fill out that roster? Is that roster already so packed that it'd be pointless to send a guy like Sammy or Finn down there to do like a 6-month run where you're like, it's not working on the main roster, let's send you down to NXT, we want that to be important and big, and have you going running through there, losing to a guy like Adam Cole or Keith Lee or whoever to help elevate them, and then you can go back up to the main roster when we've got another plan. Do you have an issue with that, or do you think that could be a good way to both benefit talent on the main roster that's toiling away and help add a little bit more dynamic to NXT?
I always liked that. I mean, I look at how well that worked out for Cesaro, and even more so for Tyson Kidd, how it revitalized him. I think it's helped Tyler Breeze, and the Breezango act itself will be well off doing that. I think that's the best way to refresh these guys, get them some momentum again, and then you can do whatever you're going to do. I'm personally a fan of that, and I'm not so much a fan of saying somebody has to be on a show anyways. It is just that as all this goes along, developmental becomes less developmental, and we've already seen it. You already see, like, Adam Cole is down there and he's the champion, but is he developing? Or Adam Cole was already pretty much the same act and the same guy and the same wrestler, you know? It was already great and had all this experience and everything. And like putting him, like, ideally you would take a guy who has not been in a major league position, like Big E. Big E was the guy that they put in, you know, the main event and gave the belt to. That was a guy who needed that experience, or Bo Dallas. Like, that's what it used to be. Those are the guys that used to have the belts. It was guys who they were developing in their system. And in order for them to become bigger stars and know how to draw on the main roster, they had to learn how to become stars and learn how to draw down there. And when over the years, it's become more Nakamura and Cole and Joe and these guys. And it's like, those aren't the guys you put the belt on to if you want to develop somebody. You're not developing. The guy who's your champion should be a guy that you want to someday develop into being a champion on the main roster, who needs that experience.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's kind of – and so as all this goes on, developmental will become less and less about developing stars, and that will fall solely to the performance center. So that will be. I'm not sure that that's going to be a great thing.
Yeah. Do you think Evolve becomes more of a developmental?
It already is in a lot of ways, and it has been a lot more than people realize for quite a while, actually. And I could see that. I think, and if they do that, that's fine. It's just, once again, how much do we see WWE get their fingers on it? I don't know that I want WWE to get their fingers on Evolve too much, but as it becomes more developmental, they'll get their fingers on it more and more, right? So that's the part that's the negative. So it's good that you still have that. Let's call that AA, and NXT is AAA, and then you know the main roster is the major leagues, right?
Yeah.
So it's a good that you have that kind of idea, but yeah, I don't know that I want to see them. I don't trust them with Evolve.
Actually, before we get to the card, I quickly want to bring it up because it'll be the middle point. It'll be the little buffer before we get to. Wonderful.
You go buy some energy drinks because I know you're not going to get quite the sleep you're hoping for.
No, it just kind of keeps going, but that's the way it goes. Fight TV has a meeting with WWE, and for those that don't know, Fight TV was used for Ring of Honor television and Ring of Honor pay-per-views, AEW pay-per-views, and AEW the house shows Fighter Fest. Fight for the Fallen, All Out. It was used for boxing, MMA. It was used for small independent promotions as a way to have a site that could stream their product. WWE has a meeting, and the reported plan is WWE wants to buy Fight TV. How detrimental is this to the very small independents? I'm not talking AEW Impact, but I'm talking about the small little promotions that they have on there.
It'll be good. It'll be good for the people that's Fight TV. I think Jim Ross actually owns a portion of that that he bought into it a few years ago. It'll be good for them. It will not be good for the business. It feels like to me as soon as I heard about it, it was like, this feels like buying and killing your competition, like what UFC did when they bought Pride Fighting Championship. They bought it and then just folded it, you know, and then just took what they could from it. And we've seen WWE do that kind of strategy in the past. That's what this feels like. And will something fill the void? Something will fill the void. Something will step up.
Yeah.
No question about it. But that's kind of what I thought. My first thought was it just feels like a way for them to shut this down before it becomes more of a hassle for them while they still can.
This, if you go back to the 80s, we'll joke about Vince and sneezing and steak wraps and that's good shit, pal. But this is a ruthless businessman that promoters in the 80s described.
And a scumbag. Let's not say what you will, but Vince McMahon is a scumbag.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon, the things that he did, like I mean, we talk about it, the Harley, but we talk about the Flair for Gold, like taking Harley, not telling him that he's bringing in Hulk Hogan and offering him big money to no show that event, the first Starrcade, and to come in with the title. And then he would have had to lose it to Hogan, which he wouldn't even have known about, and offering this big money. And when Harley turns him down, attacking Harley, physically attacking him, didn't go well for him because Harley's Harley. But, you know.
Wait, Vince attacked Harley?
Oh, yeah. When Harley turned him down in the bathroom, Vince McMahon basically double-legged him, took him down, and Harley just reversed him and got on top and could have done a lot more damage than he did. So, yeah, like, Vince McMahon is a scumbag. He's not a normal human being. And he's always been like this, you know, and we can go back to the stuff with Snuka and these different things. But, yeah, that's the story. He tried to sabotage. Nobody knew he was going national yet. He hadn't announced that he was going national. This was about 3 months before he announced he was going national. He tried to sabotage Starrcade.
Holy
the original one.
Crap.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah. So again, when you say he's a vicious businessman, there's you know, I guess there's no honor among thieves. He's beyond a vicious businessman. And then, of course, when WCW, you know, takes a few of his guys and legitimately offers free agents more money than, oh, I'm the small guy and you doing this to me and it's unfair business practices. And he turns around. Everything that anybody's ever done back to Vince that he's done to them, he's thought is unfair. But for him to do it is perfectly okay. That's been his whole career. I'm allowed to do this, but you're not. I can do whatever I want, but you're doing it to me. Well, that's unfair, pal.
Well, because there was a quote that a lot of 80 promoters describe Vince as his eyes, the having like little hollow points in his eyes, mm-hmm. just because mm-hmm. he was gonna cut down anyone that got in his way. Like he offered to buy AWA, and when they turned him down, he said, "I don't negotiate," and then put them out of business.
Yeah. You know, and here in Calgary, he bought Stampede Wrestling. And the deal was he paid a certain amount of money to Stu Hart, but more than that, it was supposed to be, he was going to be paying him for years, because every time he ran a house full now, Stu would get a portion of the houses. Well, the houses weren't as good as he liked, so he just didn't bother paying Stu and the Hart family, which is why they had to restart Stampede Wrestling a couple years later again. But that's like, it doesn't matter that you're not drawing as well as you can. That's on you. For taking away the product that people knew and not providing them something with it and not giving yourself enough time. You're still turning a profit on these shows, but you're not turning as big a profit as you want, so you're blaming them and you're just not paying them. That you're going against a legal agreement with somebody who doesn't have the energy or the resources to really to take you to court. That's Vince McMahon. That's what he did to the Hart family. So, you know, sure, he gave Brett and Davey Boy and Jim and all these guys a job, but that's what he did behind the scenes too. So, yeah, wonderful guy. Anyways,
SummerSlam card 2019.
Part of the reason why it's so easy to cheer for something like AEW, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. You know those stories and you're like, oh yeah, no, go AEW. Screw this guy. Yeah. But we'll talk about his card until October 2nd and August 31st. 10 matches on the card.
I'm surprised really you know didn't how know to those transition. Two stories.
You go from
I'm sorry. I'm surprised you didn't know those stories.
I did not know those stories. I did not know the Harley one at all. So that
the level of his
ego,
his over the years, the things that he's done, I think they have a perception that, oh yeah, he's not a good guy, but it's just business. And it's like, no, it's beyond that. People don't really know the real story, you know, because he's able to, the winner writes history, right? And he controls the narrative in a lot of ways. Anyways, on to SummerSlam.
the victor goes to Spoils. We got 10 matches on the card. First match is Drew Gulak defending against Oney Lorcan. I can't see them taking the title off of Drew.
No, but it's going to be a hell of a good match. Oh, it's yes. not going to have a lot of heat, and it's going to be in front of a largely empty arena, but it's going to be one hell of a match. It'll be as hard. It'll be different than what the style is that we typically see on WWE pay-per-views in any fashion. Be extremely hard-hitting. So I'm really looking forward to that match. And that's the thing about most of the SummerSlam in a bubble, the match is good. You know, the booking you question, you're going into it and that they'll do on it, you question. But as far as quality of match, two performers in the ring or four performers in the ring or whatever it is, it's almost always high.
Oh, yeah. I think there's going to be some decent matches. Next match we've got is what I believe to be the final match for Trish Stratus. It'll be Trish Stratus versus the Queen, Charlotte Flair. I can't see Trish getting a win here, and Charlotte being the favorite among all the women in their division. I can't see Charlotte taking a loss here.
No, I mean, it doesn't make sense. You know, I mean, it's weird because she's coming back for a singles match when her last singles match was in Toronto, where she used a sharpshooter to beat Lita to win the title and then retired. And everybody was very surprised about that, but it made sense because Lita was also leaving, so it didn't matter. Lita was gone shortly after, too. So, I mean, she never did the job and put somebody over on the way out the way that you historically do. Now she's going to do it. I think she's 43 or 44, something like that. So, I mean, it's, you know, I think she's, don't get me wrong, she's in great shape. But it's, I think it'll have great heat. That'll help it. You know, the crowd will be solidly behind Lita. Or, no, sorry, Lita, Trish, solidly behind Trish. But the issue is, I think it's, Flair has always been somebody who is athletically gifted, so when she's put in the right situation, she can have a great match. But she's never felt like somebody who can
elevate
somebody else, carry somebody else if they're not that, if they're not at that level. And Trish not having been in the ring much over the last several years, and being at that age, it's a real test for Charlotte. We'll see. She's not her dad as far as carrying somebody. So I'm not sure how great the match will be. I think the heat will help. Obviously, Charlotte goes over.
Yeah, Charlotte goes over. I think it'll be an okay match. Josh has Flair winning as well. I think this will be okay. This will be a nice send-off for Trish. That'll be the big thing at the end of it. And that'll be that.
Do you think Lita shows up at the end and gives her a hug or something? Or, you know, Beth Phoenix or somebody like that? Somebody who, you know, another diva from the past, or other divas come on stage and give her a standing or something like that. Do you think that they create some sort of moment like that for her?
Yeah, I could see that.
Or just be the crowd. It'll just be the crowd cheering.
I could see that shot of the crowd giving her a standing ovation, and rightfully so. Next up on the docket is Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz, right? That's where they're going? Oh, never mind. It's Shawn Michaels versus
Not that Dolph. I wanted to see that anyways.
It's Shawn Michaels and Dolph Ziggler. No. It's that Goldberg attempting to redeem himself against Dolph Ziggler. I have a soft spot for Goldberg. Please don't headbutt yourself. That's all I'm asking. Just please don't headbutt yourself. The Taker match was such a debacle. I just hope he has an okay match here, where you're like, that's okay. And then we move on. Goldberg will absolutely kill Ziggler in the match. Just don't actually kill Ziggler. That's all I ask.
I'm pretty sure he won't. Ziggler will bump all over for him. It'll only last 3-4 minutes. It'll be a squash. And if you're going to squash somebody, it might as well be somebody like Ziggler, who you're never going to do anything with and whose career, honestly, is also past its peak. So it doesn't hurt him to look bad to an old guy. Because he's not, you know, I mean, he's not the future at this point. So yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a fun 3-4 minutes of Goldberg just destroying him. I hope it's the last we see of Goldberg, but I suspect it isn't. I suspect he'll have more matches.
I hope this is it. He can have a nice little send off. I remember his match that he had in Toronto against Brock, and I enjoyed that because it was such a surprise. And then the Goldberg match that he had at WrestleMania against Brock to wrap everything up.
That was so great. That was a perfect ending. So, but, you know.
The Saudi money. Saudi money matters, apparently.
Yeah.
I think we all have Goldberg winning that. Next match, Josh doesn't have a pick for, so his 2 cents is left out of this match, but it is the U.S. title match, AJ versus Ricochet. AJ's got a retain here, and Ricochet continues to chase, right?
Yeah, I think that's it. Again, you can burn out this match quickly, and you can burn out Ricochet quickly. This is the situation where it's like, I hope they get a good amount of time. I think they will. I think it'll be a terrific match. I think it would have been better for Ricochet to retain until this point and lose to AJ. But it didn't. That's not the way it went. So, you know, no sense crying over spilled milk. But, yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to – even if AJ did lose it here, you have a feeling he'd win it back in TV in a week or two, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the belt has to be on him. So this is where not trusting WWE's booking comes in. In the hands of Gato, a guy like Ricochet in this situation, it would be part of a long-term storyline, and you feel like he'd get elevated and – it, you know, whereas here you feel like, if he loses this, then does he get lost in the shuffle? Luckily, Heyman really likes Ricochet, yeah. But yeah, this is my fear.
I
think we've seen Heyman only has so much power. He has some, but only so much.
I think AJ retains here because they're going to want to keep that the OC going strong. I imagine OC. That's until they grow tired of that and they kill that off. Next match.
Well, they do hate factions.
Such a dumb thing to hate.
I know.
Just blech. Next matchup, I think this will be his last match for a while.
This really does feel like I hear their voice. It's like, man, talking about WWE feels like a chore, especially when there's G1 going on.
Oh, it's a night and day difference in just the tone and the pacing of this podcast. You just feel it, and it's like, oh, man, you're trying to elevate it, but it's hard. It is really
trying
hard
to stay positive, right?
Yeah, it's hard at times because you're like, this is eventually going to fizzle out and fail. Like NXT, I thought we were more positive on and we had a lot more better things to say. This just feels like you're running the gauntlet.
And yeah, but you know, NXT, that main event, if it didn't have the energy as past main events, but it feels like the whole card of SummerSlam feels like that main event.
Yeah. Next up, and I think I feel almost disappointed to talk about this, is it's Finn versus Bray. Bray's going to win this match. Bray should kill Finn. There should be nothing left of Finn. Finn has reportedly taken a couple months off to go be with his fiance, which I can't blame him. Bray should kill him, put the mandible claw in, 1, 2, 3, that should be done in it. And then this fiend character, the Firefly Funhouse, Yowie Wowie, should continue to grow and elevate to finally getting Bray to a main event level and being a monster heel for you.
And build to the return of the demon versus the fiend.
Exactly. And that
should be far more interesting than Sister Abigail versus the demon was going to be.
And
theoretically.
And absolutely, you could build that to Mania. And that would be amazing. But they won't. They will boggle it. No. Firefly Funhouse and everything that's good about that will be eventually screwed over and dead and dying. See, this is the problem. If this was Japan, if this was AEW, if this was Ring of Honor, if this was Impact, you'd be like, well, maybe there's a sliver of hope. With this, you're like, they're going to screw this up. I'm enjoying this, so this is going to fail somehow.
Yeah, that's the difference. You're absolutely right that you can't have – there's this pit in your stomach of just like, oh, man, it's just – they don't know what to do with this. They got something here, but they won't know long-term what to do with it. Now, I will say this. Historically, the other problem is, for me, is Bray Wyatt has always been at the best when he's not wrestling. It's always – his most interesting stuff has always been the promos and the vignettes and the entrance and all this stuff. And then the matches happen, and I know he's in better shape, but – but and I know Finn's awesome, but I'm just worried that the crowd will be really into it, be going crazy. Then the match will start, and they'll just go quiet, and they'll not want to boo Bray, and they'll just go quiet. And I've seen that with Bray matches in the past, where everything feels like it's built up, and then the match starts, and it's just like something's missing there.
My question to you, two questions I have is, how would you book Bray moving forward? Would you have just squash matches, or would you have and lean more into what he's really good at? Or do you kind of force to have some matches and hopefully those pan out a little bit better?
Yeah, it's difficult because until you see if there's any difference in his ring work and his ring style with the Fiend. And I would have him as the Fiend and the Yowie Maui character. Like I would want both of the I would want to the have the good and the bad guy. You know, the split personalities, and one's the babyface and one's the heel, and I'd want to do this and have them have wrestle a different style. But I just, and it's not even so much him, it's their producers and the way they put together matches. I that's the part where I'm just, unless I see that, until I start trusting that, it's really hard to book the guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know who's a good guy for him to take on next. I really have no idea. And like I said, I know the crowd is really into him and not really booing him a little bit, you know, when he attacks somebody like Foley, but it's a rough one.
Yeah. I'm interested to see. I feel like he should almost, he should almost be a babyface. in a lot of ways.
Yeah, even the Fiend feels like it should be a babyface. Even the Bray Wyatt character himself had finally turned babyface and wasn't nearly as well used near the end. But I mean, there's been no question in my mind, this guy's always had big babyface potential. Big babyface. And the very first time I saw him perform as a babyface was like his last 2 weeks in NXT before moving up. And I was like, oh yeah, this guy's a massive babyface after being a strong heel. But again, you just don't trust him.
Yeah. And speaking of not trusting, next match is if Kevin Owens loses, he must leave WWE. He's taking on the best in the world, Shane McMahon.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to the part where they crawl to the top of the Hell in a Cell. And then, we'll see if there's a big fall off. And then Sami Zayn, wait, that already happened. Like, you just cannot get excited about this. As much as I like the Owens babyface character still trying to regain some momentum from the quick heel turn, I feel, that kind of,
oh God, kind of, yeah,
sidetracked that momentum that they did for him to take on Kofi, still trying to recover from that. I think this one, like any interest I had in this, as soon as Owens beat Drew McIntyre clean to build to a match with Shane instead of the other way around on SmackDown, that's where I just went, oh, I hate this.
I feel like KO's a guy that could be a main eventer. I don't know if he could be a guy, but I feel like he could be a main eventer. Like, you have a
hand. And he has been in the past.
I just feel very under... Recently, I felt very underwhelmed by him and Samoa Joe. Like, I just feel meh on them. And it's partially just based on, this is all going to get screwed up eventually, and WWE is going to keep doing what WWE
does. It's more their booking. It's more the booking that makes that, gives you that feeling, than their talent.
Oh, yeah.
That's for damn sure.
Both of them are extremely talented, but
you
just know that they're not going to be handled properly.
You just can't get excited about seeing this match. I'm sorry, Shane McMahon wrestling. And also knowing that Drew and Elias and stuff like that are going to get interfere, and who knows, they could, in the middle of the match have one of those changing the rules to the advantage of the babyface. Now it's a 2-on-1, now it's a 3-on-1. Like, there's all this BS that could happen, and it's like, it's not what I want. I want what G1 gives me. I don't want what this is, this kind of sports entertainment aspect for me. It's just an older guy who can't wrestle, whatever.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think Owens wins, but who cares?
Yeah, I believe that is Josh's pick. Josh picks Shane to win, so.
Well, it's very possible. Shane doesn't do a lot of jobs.
So then, there you go. Kevin Owens is gone to NXT. Maybe he can join Undisputed Era finally.
Maybe he'll come back under a mask. And maybe he'll be the Midnight Rider. If that reference is not one you get, look up the Midnight Rider wrestling and then come back to talk to me when we talk about you'll bring it up to me on the G1 finals when we preview that after these final two block nights.
All right, we'll look up Midnight Rider and we'll talk. We got four more matches.
You really will. We will talk because you'll be like, oh. That was a fail.
Next match is for the WWE Championship. It is Kofi Kingston versus Randy Orton. Josh has Kofi. I have Kofi. Mo has...
Yeah. Kofi by default. It's Kofi just because it doesn't... It's like putting the belt on Orton just doesn't make any sense, and there's nothing fresh about it. But it's like, there's no momentum behind Kofi right now. Fairly good promos, but it's just, I don't know, it hasn't worked out as well as I think I'd hoped. So yeah, Kofi by default, just because it doesn't feel like you put the belt on Orton at this stage and everything, which is why they probably do. Like, it's totally possible they do.
Oh yeah, but absolutely. Here's the thing. With Orton's history with Cody and his exchange with Will Ospreay,
that was interesting.
To God he leaves and he does it. He has a similar deal to Moxley. He does stuff in AEW, and then he does stuff in Japan because Randy Orton.
He has to look at Moxley and think how much more fun that looks. And not only that, there was somebody that I think it was Brian Alvarez, probably 3 months ago, said there's people that want to leave, WWE. There's people, some of them would really surprise you. Some of them are huge stars, not just the mid-card guys, like the Revival type guys who want to leave because, but it's like guys that you wouldn't think would want to leave actually want to leave. And now I'm thinking, is that Orton that he was talking about? Or people like Orton?
I think so. I could absolutely see Orton leaving. He's done everything in WWE.
For sure.
He could probably make a similar amount of money doing AEW and Japan and doing whatever he wants.
I don't think he'll make a similar amount of money because he gets quite a bit, but I mean, I think he'll be happier.
Yeah.
And that's why not? And this is the time to do it and to show that you can do it. And it's kind of like Marty Scurll, whose contract's going to be up with ROH. And you're like, well, is he going to re-sign with ROH? No, everybody thinks he's going to go to AEW. And I'm like, no, if he goes to AEW, it feels like he's following those other guys. And if he gets a push, it feels like it's because he's their friend. It doesn't feel like he established anything. I think he goes to NXT just because that's the only way you can be your own man. And it's kind of the same thing for Orton. Feels like maybe he just needs to be his own man now.
That's very interesting on Marty. I want Marty in AEW, but
I do too. But I think he's gonna go. My gut tells me he's not going there.
I can see him. I can see him doing well in NXT. I really like Marty. I really really.
Oh yeah,
really,
he's awesome.
I miss him on BTE a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We got three more matches. The next one is Bayley versus Ember Moon for the SmackDown Women's title. Yes, that's a SmackDown Women's title. I just want to make sure I got that right. Bayley retains here, right? Josh has Ember. I think it will be Bayley. Is it too soon to put the title on Ember? Have they not built her up enough? Do you even care?
You know, it's so tough because how's the crowd going to react in this one? I feel like before the match is over, Charlotte gets involved or somebody like that. And so a heel gets involved in some way. What does it lead to? I can't say. Like, does it lead to one of them turning? Does it lead to a match with that other person? But I feel like Ember's going to get the win based on that.
I don't know. I don't know if I care. There's not enough.
I don't care enough. That's true. There is that.
It's like trying to sink your teeth into a wooden block. Like, there's just nothing there to really get yourself into this. I just don't feel like they've done enough for either Bayley or Ember to elevate this match, to make it matter.
And the other thing about it is, I feel like it should be a good match, but I don't feel like it will be that good, and I don't feel like it'll get a lot of time or be put in a good position to succeed. I don't know. It's
WWE.
It's WWE.
Flipping to the other match that didn't have a lot of heat, unless you go on social media and listen to Becky Lynch's promos. It's Becky Lynch versus Natalya in a submission match. When you listen to Becky's promos on social media, this match is completely different, and it feels like she's squeezing as much life out of this program as much as possible to give it a little bit more oomph. But everything they've done on TV, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm telling you, and her delivery on her promos is good. But yeah, I mean, I don't know why when the writers are writing her Twitter feed, it's just so much more successful when they write her dialogue. I don't know why that is, he says sarcastically. It'll have a good reaction because it's Natalya and it's Canada.
Yeah.
But you already have the Trish Canada female match, right? So that kind of puts this in a weird position. and people still like, and the people still like Becky, but so I think it'll actually have, again, I think there'll be good crowd heat. I think that'll help elevate the match. I think they'll be given a lot of time. Becky's a good wrestler. Natalya's a terrific wrestler. I think it'll actually be a really good match. The build and the excitement going into it isn't there for me as well, but I think it'll deliver on that night. And I do think Becky retains.
Yes, I do as well, as does Josh.
Because Natalya never, I think she's had two short reigns in like her 11 years.
Yeah, she's never been the one that they give the title to. She's always been
there. Yeah, she's prominent spot. They see her as a mechanic. Yeah. You know, that person that, yeah.
Can work on a car, get it over, and then send it on its way.
Exactly.
The final match, and a match that I just give zero cares. The cares are gone. It's flown away. I don't care. This is the beatdown angle is stupid. Just especially after Vince's line, AEW's blood and guts. And then what do they do with Seth? It's blood and guts. It's Seth Rollins challenging Brock Lesnar. It's just another rehash. Thank God this isn't Baron Corbin. That's the only saving grace to all of this, is it's not Baron Corbin. And Corbin and Lacey haven't been on TV for the last month or so.
Good point.
Corbin's going to probably come out and interfere. So that's how that's going to end. Josh has Brock winning. I have, logically based on everything that's happened on TV, Seth should win. So Seth's losing and Brock's retaining. Mm-hmm. And we're continuing this nightmare train. Because, Mo, you know what match is at WrestleMania 36. It is going to be Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. They are going to finally... Roman will beat Brock there. And then that'll be it. Seth will toil away in the upper mid card, and they will have no direction for him, and that's just the way this is going to go, isn't it?
I pretty much agree with every single thing you've said. Have you ever been in a swimming pool and tried to run?
Yep.
That feeling is what I get with WWE and this main event, and where they're going with Brock. That feeling like, you're trying to run. You're trying to do as fast as you can, and you just feel like you're barely moving. Like, it's just – I think there's a way to use Brock, but it's not in a main event title match at all.
No, not
it's as a special attraction with fresh matchups and proper presentation. And this instead is, hey, let's put it on this guy. We're going to go on Fox. We want him to have the belt so he can be on Fox and he can also be on Raw. Besides, we're paying him all this money and he's legit. And it feels like, why did they even do the Mania stuff?
Yeah, it's pointless.
And this feels like it's been going on since January, even though they took a break from it. Because in some way or shape or another, it has been going on in January. And the other times when it wasn't going on, it was – you know, Baron Corbin versus Seth, which you just couldn't give a damn about. So just talk about killing somebody. Also, you know, the Bizarro Land crowd here will be very interesting. Oh. I could just, they could crap all over this, and both guys even.
Oh yeah. You, if you remember, Seth's, Twitter rants, wait till you see what happens if this really goes belly up. Also, speaking of comments, Roman came out recently and said that, how did he word it? He said it's not creative's fault. If someone's not getting over, it's not creative's fault.
Says the guy who's always had the company machine and creative behind him the most of any human being over the last 7 years or so in the company. Go to hell. He hasn't had to deal with what Ty Dillinger had to deal with. He's never had to deal with that. He hasn't had to deal with even what Dean Ambrose had to deal with.
I know. This is what he said. In an interview with ESPN, Roman Reigns, Moxley's former Shield partner, responded to the comments made by a longtime friend. The big dog emphasized that he loves Moxley to death and claims he's still my brother, but that he doesn't agree with the comments he made against the WWE
creative process. It's not that Moxley wasn't over. Moxley was over. So that's just so stupid.
I'll tell you straight up.
He said it wasn't as good as it could be.
I disagree with what Ambrose said about the creative process. I love the guy, and wrestling ain't going to stop that. On a personal level, me and him and that dude can hang out, have a beer or two, and just talk. And even when we don't talk, that's just our relationship. Reigns also suggested that a disgruntled superstar like Moxley needs to let the boss know about his opinions and ideas, while adding Vince now listens to everything the big dog says.
Yeah, because you're the big dog. Vince is going to listen to you. He listened to Cena, you know? But, yeah, it's just so... Talk about living in a bubble, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You hear that and you're like, this... You just don't get it, because there's so many guys that are toiling away right now, like
and that have tried everything you're talking about. It's just so stupid, such a bloody ignorant take.
Roman getting almost run over by Rowan, and the rumors of Brian and Rowan, Roman being the next program for both guys respectively. Brian has reportedly dropped his big career-changing announcement in order to just continue to feud with Roman. I don't know how that program's going to go. I don't know. Obviously, Roman goes over.
I mean, there's talk about, what was it I heard, Roman and Buddy Murphy at SummerSlam was being added. Roman's going to show up in some way, but there's a few other guys that are key here. I don't think it's going to be like the whole thing. I think the Rowan thing again is a swerve. I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to be Braun Strowman. I believe will play into this. Put it that way. I think that's the last time Roman was his hottest and Strowman was his hottest. I think they're going to try and go back to that for a third time. This is the last time it didn't work because of an injury in the middle of it. And the fact that, I mean, Baron Corbin not being on this, I get. Braun Strowman not being at SummerSlam feels really weird.
Yeah.
I know he's had some health issues, but it feels really weird. So, you know, he's also had an angle where he was attacked and injured and put out. But, you know, he recovers pretty quick.
Yeah, he seems to. Lashley's out till November with elbow surgery. So, yeah. He's done.
Yeah, I think that's my thing. I can't get over the idea that it feels really weird. Again, Heyman apparently really likes, you know, likes Strowman. Do you really think that he's not going to be at SummerSlam in some way? That makes no sense.
It's weird. It's really weird that there's certain people left off of this card. I mean, it's refreshing that certain people, because then the next time you see them, then it means a little bit more. But we're going to see them. And it's going to be a stuffed six-hour show, and it's going to drag on.
Plus, if you're going to leave them off, it's okay to leave people off shows and pay-per-views. But SummerSlam's not the one you leave somebody like that off of.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. SummerSlam is your big four.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's... I almost feel tired. Like, after talking, I feel like I had a lot of energy after the G1.
Now you want to go have a nap, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think I'm tired, and I think that's probably what's going to happen when I watch SummerSlam.
You'll catch up on your sleep during SummerSlam. I will be watching the show. I will not be watching all 6 hours.
I will watch the show, but I will probably have a nap halfway through.
I will be PVRing and fast forwarding and picking and choosing my spots as we go.
But you'll be watching all of the G1.
Hell yes.
Which, as long as everything goes according to plan, I think we'll have a review show at the G1 after everything's all said and done. So,
will we be talking the final when we know what the finals is, or will we get on for a quick 20 minutes and just talk that match?
I think if possible. Could. I think we could. I think
we could. Otherwise, definitely we'll have to do something right after it.
Yes.
Because it's amazing. I wish I could watch that live, the final, or the Block A and Block B winner.
I'm going to be jumping up and down, and people are going to be looking at me weird, but I'm going to get into it.
Well, you're used to that.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Used to that.
Yeah. Everyone looks at me weird anyways, so.
Oh, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Weird.
So, Mo, thank you for coming on. And Josh, thank you again for giving us your picks, and hopefully you feel better. I was going to make another joke about Silence, but...
Yeah, well, he's never been better, right?
this is what he should include in his demo reel when he sends to other stations.
Tremendous.
I'm sure I'm gonna pay for this eventually, but.
Look, the very first time I met him in person, I walked up and went, "Oh, good Lord, you're ugly." Like, and he's not, you know. And he was with Devin, and I said the same thing. I'm like, "Oh, man, you're even worse." Like, you know, we tease because we love.
Exactly. There has to be that ribbing, because if there's no ribbing, then one of us will develop a very big ego, and the other two will have to put up with it.
Well, that's already happened. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it takes up. Takes up almost the whole room, Mo. Jeez.
All right, let's
all right.
Put a bow on this.
This was good. We got both.
You're tired. I'm hungry.
So I think this is the perfect time to wrap everything up. Thank you for coming on. Make sure you stay tuned to everything else that We Talk does, the great new website, and everything that Fresh Take does as well. When Josh finally heals up and he's good and ready to go. We will be back with more wrestling news because it will never stop. All Out is fastly approaching, and TV for All AEW is on its way.
And your new logo.
I can't wait to reveal it.
Yeah, reveal it on these shows. Why not?
There we go. I got a brand new logo. I'm quite excited. So Mo, thanks for coming on. We will be back for the G1, and we will probably be back for more WWE misery. Let's be honest, it
feels just, like work.
Yeah, it really does. Make sure you subscribe and stay tuned, as there'll be more wrestling news that will be coming out shortly. Thanks, Mo.
Good night.
Goodbye. And good night, Ben.